Good morning, Glass. Good morning, Keith.
Good morning.
Keith tells me off the air that you might have been a little chilly yesterday out and about. Tell us about your story and what you observed.
Yeah, well, it's another Let's Talk Trash Day, so our sanitation guys were, you know, doing their morning routine, and I happened to be at a location not too far from where I live at the time that they were stopping and picking up some of the carts in front of a residence. So I stopped our guys and said, so how's it going from your perspective? And they said, well, there's a couple things that, you know, we're still having a hard time. Our residents don't understand maybe the new system entirely yet. And those two things included the following. One is if you have extra recyclables that don't fit in your cart and you put them next to the cart, we're not going to pick it up because the whole purpose of the cart is to have all the recyclables where all your trash inside of them. And anything left to the side requires a person to get out of the truck, lift it, and throw it in the back of the truck, which is what we're trying to get away from with our new modernized fleet with our tippers. So we've got to train people that if it's left out to the side of your cart, you're going to find it when you get home that day, because that defeats the purpose of modernizing and removing the lifting requirement that we have for our staff. So that was tip number one from our sanitation crew. And he asked how I could help. I asked him how I could help him with getting information out. He said, well, you could take an ad out in the paper, or you could say something on the radio. I said, perfect. I will do that Thursday.
Oh, I know which one's cheaper.
I know. That was tip number one. Tip number two was there's, again, because of the mechanized equipment, if people have cars parked in or around their carts and the tipper or the arm that reaches out to the side on the side loaders can't get to your cart, that's a problem too. It requires the same kind of, somebody has to get off the truck, slows them down, makes them move the carts over and in an area where they can pick up with the tipper. So you just got, I think these reminders, just remember this system is nothing like the old one where people get out of the trucks, pick up your trash and recycles and dump it into the back. It's mechanized. So we need people to understand those are the two latest tips from our crews.
Mick, talk about the postcard that we got this week about what you want to remind people of and how their first utility bill is going to look.
Sure. So one of the things that we've been challenged by is there's been 1,600 requests for different cart sizes. While we anticipated some of that, we didn't anticipate the volume to be quite that large. So we didn't have an inventory large enough to swap out everybody's cart sizes for exactly what they wanted. So since this is the first month that your bill will reflect your October trash pickup fees on your November water bill, we're going to have the same rate for everybody. And so that's the lowest rate. Everyone's going to pay the 622, I believe it is, rate for the month of October. So consider that a part of the transition process as we make sure everybody gets the right size carts. And then when they get the right size carts, you get billed for what your size cart is. So that's what the card was intending to say, along with some other tips about the program and making sure people realize that now on your water bill and sewer bill, you'll have your trash collection fee, your sanitation collection fee.
Mick Renheisen's our guest this morning. He's the deputy mayor of the city of Bloomington. Mick, if I'm not happy with my cart selection, what is the process now?
Yeah, you can still, you know, I think it was 60 days we gave people, so we're in that window where you're about halfway through your opportunity to get it in. We'd like to know sooner than later. We made another order of carts from the company, and as those come in, we'll be swapping them out as we have been so far with the inventory we have. But you do run out of time. There's a deadline, and again, I don't have it exactly, but it was 60 days from the start of the program. After that, you're going to have to pay a different fee to get the cart exchange. So we encourage people, you know, make your decision now. You probably have seen the three cart sizes in your neighborhood. Figure out which one works best for you. Get those requests in so we can get you what you need for the long haul here.
But you can always change your mind later as long as you have cash to pay for it.
That is right. We just want to try to
you get your free
that
one.
For,
that's exactly right.
For our residents. Hey, one other thing that was a tip that came out of my visit with our crews is we have two different trucks going out. So we have one that picks up the waste and one that picks up recycle. So it's very possible in the new system that one of your carts has been picked up and the other one has not. So what we're trying to do to let you know that without making you lift the lid and find out yourself is turn the cart that we've already emptied to the side or turn it completely around so it's facing your house so that you know we've picked that one up. But the other one may not have been picked up yet, and in fact, it could be as late as 3 p.m. on some days before that second.
So don't assume both are picked up at the same time. That's just not the case.
That is correct.
Mick, I got one for you. Can we get the people not to rake their leaves into the street?
No, you can't get people
for the
to do
leaf
anything.
Pickup, because I know you're doing that now, but we get rain and such, that just clogs up the sewers.
It does. So, you know, we've started our curbside fall leaf collection program. It started on Monday. We'll do that until December 22nd. You know, we prefer people put their leaves in bags, which we pick up free of charge. Those are bags you can get from local hardware stores and other places. And that's the preferred way, but of course some people will continue to put them on the curb. So you need to put them on your lawn as close to the curb as possible. There's a huge vacuum device that we use that sucks up the leaves. If you put it in the curb area, you are doing exactly what Keith said can cause a problem, particularly when we start to get freeze and thaw conditions and those leaves become ice packs, and then when they melt, they block the sewers and cause backups on the street. We don't want to see that. You don't want to see that in your yard or in any other area, so that would help if people could put their leaves just on their properties as near to the curb as possible, but not on the street.
Mick Renheisen's our guest this morning. He checks in from the city of Bloomington from the deputy mayor's office, and 2 weeks till Thanksgiving. Are you excited?
I am, but
there's a lot to do in these next 2 weeks, isn't there?
It's hard to believe it's becoming the end of the year already.
It is, and plenty of activities happening, no doubt about it. The farmer's market continues on, even though it's November, even though it's going to be a little chilly on Saturday morning. We start an hour later. Everybody knows all of that. Holiday markets are coming up. What else do we need to know about, buddy?
Well, I just want one more comment on the leaf collection.
Oh, there's more?
I just got to thinking, you know, my leaves are
starting to fall
pretty significantly after our strong winds and rain this last week. But if you were a Monday pickup and you didn't have very many leaves down or haven't had a chance to go rake because you didn't have many to rake, you might wonder, are we going to come back to your neighborhood? And the answer is maybe. We hope to have second passes if time and weather allows. So when the snow starts to fall, the same crews that pick up the leaves have to start pushing snow off streets. So if we get snow before December 22nd, then, you know, that leaf collection process temporarily halts until we don't have to push snow, and then the guys can come back. And, of course, if your leaves are covered with snow or ice, that's another deal breaker. The equipment doesn't work when it's that way.
So we hope we have the same snow amount we did last year, which was barely any.
None.
Well, we can pick up leaves in February if necessary.
So we'll do it till December 22nd. We will make second passes if possible. There's a website with the map showing where we're coming, where the next sites are going to be. So if you'll take a look on the city's website, bloomington.in.gov, you'll be able to find out what the next zone is that we're picking up leaves. So we hope to be able to come around a second time, but that's just contingent on those two elements.
Mick, what's the status of the discussion on the first-time hookups, the new charges?
Right, so that went to the city council. This is utilities fees, and there had been some non-recurring fees. These are not your water sewer rates that you get every month, your monthly charges for use of water and sewer, but rather if you're hooking on, if you're a new hookup, a new development, a new house, for whatever reason you have hookup, or you need some sort of testing or leak detection services, we have people that we call out, send out, you know, to do any of those services. And there's a fee associated with that. Well, unfortunately, we haven't changed that fee for 15 years. I guess you could say fortunately if you're on the other end of this. And those don't reflect the actual cost of delivering that service. So this is a catch-up of trying to make those fees adjusted. Again, they only affect people who are new customers who are hooking on or new developments or a testing feature that you want to have for whatever reason you need a test to be performed on your water or sewer service. So they don't impact everyone. The significance of a 15-year delay in changing the fees is that they're much more substantial in increases than, and pretty probably eye-popping if you look at it, but again, they don't affect everybody, and they're only intended to recover the true cost of it. They're not intended to add any markup. We're not trying to make a profit off of the fee. And then all those fees are being set aside for future expansion of the system. So it's basically a capital fee, kind of like a joiner fee if you join a fitness center, that makes sure that the equipment's going to be replaced in a timely fashion. These fees will be set aside to help offset future system infrastructure costs.
Well, good. And it's different because it's not the rate. That's correct. It's how everybody hooks on. And is this going to be updated more frequently so there's not such a large jump, or is this going to be, we'll see how it goes and do that?
Well, if it were mixed world, I think any of the city's fees, where there are fees, should be reviewed annually. That doesn't mean adjusted. That means reviewed and then adjusted on a regular basis. That could be, in some cases, as often as yearly, in other cases every couple of years, in other cases every 4 or 5 years. So let's just take, for example, water. We shouldn't wait 10 years to change our water rates. We should probably do those on a 4 or 5 year cycle. That's a logical,
And aren't water rates different too, because you have to put them through the regulatory commission, and that takes forever and a day anyhow?
That's correct, and you have to do a cost of service analysis, which is a time-consuming, costly process.
Probably cheap too, right? Probably inexpensive.
Like everything we have to do is cheap and inexpensive. Mm-hmm. Yeah, right. So yeah, so that's why you wouldn't want to do that kind of
annual
review of the water and sewer rates. But on these service fee charges, where you go out one time cost, yes, those should be updated on a more regular basis to reflect.
Boy, I bet you'd like to have those in about 5-10 years ago when everything was being built, huh? That'd have been
Well, but really that.
I think we're still building.
Pretty logical. People understand, there's a fee to hook on.
Sure.
Of course, I don't want to pay any more than I have to, but nor should the rest of the ratepayers have to subsidize your hook on.
Amen. That's the other side of that. That's right. And then anybody that has new hook ons can pass those savings along to their customers, as opposed to the rest of us for minding our own business.
It's a fairness issue. So the second hearing of this is next week, I believe. And so the city council had some good questions last night. Our utilities people will do some analysis on those questions and give the feedback to the council before they make their final approval process or decision next week.
Quick trivia for us?
Got it.
All right.
Last week, Mayor Hamilton joined IU's Kevin Whited to announce a new partnership between the city and the university for a bike share initiative. The new program is scheduled to start early next year. So, in that announcement, an initial pool inventory of how many bikes has been proposed. Is it A, 50, B, 75, C, 100, or D, 150 bikes in this proposed plan?
I remember Keith doing the story, so I know the answer. Keith doesn't. He's grinding. I can see him.
No, because it was so many per 100.
Yeah.
And that none of those numbers cover that.
Oh, they do.
Okay, I'm going to go 100.
I think it's 150.
Glass is right. The goal is to get a bike per 100, which would have us at about 850 bikes. But in the initial first pilot program, the goal is to get 150 bikes out there.
Okay.
So you were right, Keith. You're right. There wasn't an answer from what you remembered, right. And the goal is to get to that point. But again, I take the lead. Let's just get down to brass tacks here.
Don't forget Thanksgiving's coming, Mike.
2 weeks.
Take his mind off of his success. Go ahead.
The answer is gravy, Mick. I'd like to choose again.
Yeah.
Okay. Second question. A bike share program makes sense for Bloomington because it is, A, one of the healthiest commuting alternatives available. B, it's more widely and financially accessible than other means of transportation. C, it will reduce the community's carbon footprint. Or D, all of the above.
All of the above.
Mm-hmm. That's an easy one.
Yeah.
All those things will happen. We have a very high bike ridership component in our community already. So
please note that Mike didn't answer that, so I get credit.
You
he
do.
Doesn't.
And you get a side of gravy with that.
The technicality, I'll let you guys fight that out.
That's
Here's
right.
a tiebreaker, right. kind of. Bloomington has long been regarded as one of the premier bicycle cities in the Midwest, and has also been designated as a gold-level bicycle-friendly community by which of these entities? Is it A, the American Heart Association, B, Parenting Magazine, C, the League of American Bicyclists, or D, Pee Wee Herman's Big Adventure North American Bike Club?
Well, that's obvious.
Oh, boy.
It's Pee Wee Herman. I'm going to go with the Bikers of America.
I'll go Parents Magazine.
It is the League of American Bicyclists.
Okay. Boom. Silver,
that was too easy.
Silver rating, what rating are we now? Does this move us up in the rankings? Is this like getting a good road win, Mick?
I'm not tracking these. I hope you guys are. But my gut tells me glass is ahead, Keith. Sorry.
Yeah,
it might be. Just a little bit.
Just distracting. Cranberry sauce, Mike.
But Keith did win a side of gravy today. So we're all winners, Mick. We're all winners in it. Great job as always. We'll talk to you next Thursday. And that'll be the last time we speak to you because in 2 weeks you won't be here. And we won't either.
Well, you're probably going to have Mary Catherine next Thursday because I won't be here next Thursday.
Well, enjoy Maui or wherever you're going again.
All right.
See you, buddy. Appreciate it.
Happy Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving early.
I like that. Happy Thanksgiving to you and yours. Even happy Thanksgivings are flowing, Keith. This is great. Mick Renheisen, Deputy Mayor of the City of Bloomington.